Now we get to the star of the show. This is where I'll be spending more time on this than on anything else in the presentation. So get used to this slide, because you're going to be seeing it for a while. I'm going to start, actually, with a little information I drew from Nick Anthony Fiorenza. He has a great article online called Synodic Astrology, the Saturn-Pluto Synodic Cycles, a Historical Exploration 1851 to 2020. I'm not going to go into the historical part, but he has a wonderful description of a synodic cycle. So a synodic cycle is just like a moon cycle. We all know the moon starts new, it's dark, and then it gets halfway lit, and it's the first quarter moon or the waxing moon, and then it goes full-on circle, that's the full moon, and then it goes three-quarter way around, and then it's half dark again, and that's the waning moon, and then it comes new again. And the moon runs a 28-day synodic cycle. That's the quickest cycle we have in our sky. As I said, this Saturn-Pluto is a 34-year synodic cycle. But the same kind of thing works. So once they can join. Now, after I give you all this information, I'm going to pull up a chart of the actual thing, and I will describe the particulars of this particular Saturn-Pluto cycle. But I want you to understand Saturn-Pluto in general first. So, again, you start with the theme, and you build to the first quarter square. That's the crisis point of the square, is to turn a corner. It's a 90-degree angle. And then that's where you make the decision. You take definitive action, and for the next quarter phase, you're acting, making it happen. You get to the full moon. I mean, isn't it true the full moon is the brightest time of night? You walk around and see stuff, you know, as easily as it was daytime. So that's where you see what you've got. It's the brightest, clearest vision. And the full moon is, okay, this is what I've achieved. It's the climax, but I'm not done. I'm only halfway there. What needs adjusting? What needs to be released? And now I'm going to tweak it and play with it. And then I get to the three-quarter cycle. That's okay, now I've done enough. I'm tired. I'm going to start letting it go. So the last quarter is releasing, relaxing, integration, until you get back to the new moon again, the conjunction, and then you start all over again. I want to make clear, it's not just endless repetition, though. It's a spiral. You start here, you cycle, and then you end up here, a little bit higher. So hopefully you've learned something, you've gotten a little more wisdom, God willing, you know, and hopefully, as the cycle starts again, you're in a different consciousness and you can work it smarter the next time. So that's the idea of synodic cycles. You know, the cycles repeat, but it's spiraling up into new, hopefully more wise manifestation. In terms of the years, they're about 8 years apart. The cycle begins, of course, in 2020, waxing square 2028, opposition 2036, waning square 2044, conjunctions 2053. All right, and of course, I'll just say this once, but it's always true. It ain't the only thing happening. We know there's three cycles. Okay, the most obvious example, I'm going to go into history in a minute and go through the 20th century with Saturn-Pluto hard aspects. And I'm going to give you one of the mid-60s. And of course, in the mid-60s, that was not the main event. Uranus-Pluto conjunction was the main event of the 60s, but there was also a Saturn-Pluto opposition. So they never operate in isolation. That's why astrology is such an amazing study. I've got to be not looking at this one thing. I've got to be looking at these several dozen factors and trying to weave them into a coherent gestalt. Okay? So I will be isolating it for purposes of explanation, but it ain't the only thing happening by far. Okay? It's just, at the moment, the most important thing. Okay, so let's get into some Ren keywords. Let's start with some more positive ways. Well, I'd say more. We're now going to go into some positive expressions of Saturn-Pluto. So again, I'm going to give you high and low. I always encourage you, how can you incorporate the high stuff to use this energy? And let me just say, my view of astrology and my experience of it is we're not pawns being moved around by big players. We have free will. We make choices. Even if I don't have free will, I choose to believe that I do. It's all, you can argue it either way, but I'm playing it like I do. Okay? It's my fated choice to believe that I have free will. All right. So always there's a choice to take it high or low. And let me say here, there's a thing you can do called shamanic astrology or planetary invocation. These planets are conscious beings. They are not just balls in the sky. They have vast consciousness. And that exists not only as that object out in space, they exist as an archetypal force inside you. So you can just whisper or think and it hears you. So if you know there's a, if always in your astrology, if there's a planetary something that you know what it is and you're having trouble with it, just talk to it and say, hey, Pluto, I'm tired of getting railroaded by these powerful people. I want some power. I want to be able to stand in my power so I don't get bullied by these people. And you call for Pluto to give you the positive thing that you're having trouble with. Because if you're being harassed by the low end of an archetype, it can only be because you're supposed to, again, I'm assuming here you're on the path of love and light and not becoming one of the dominator controller people. I'll just make that assumption here. But they're both valid paths, okay? But if you're one of the love and light people, then you don't want to beat down that person like they're beating down you. You want to say, okay, I'm going to stand in my power, and I'm going to be so powerful you can't mess with me. And because bullies only pick on weaklings, you're going to realize you can't mess with me. You're going to go find someone else. I've seen over and over again in my life, in my clients' lives, when the archetypal lesson is learned, when you step into the evolutionary phase that the crisis was moving you toward, the crisis is done. It has no reason to continue if it served its purpose. It is a very purposeful universe. There is no blind malice here, in my opinion. It's all. Anytime you're in challenge, it's just because you're being asked to up your game and become more conscious and more powerful and more loving. That's my game anyway. All right, let's go to some keywords from Ren Butler for Saturn-Pluto. Profound discipline, strength and endurance, intensive self-control, the capacity to bear down with great force, and pressure on difficult situations until they're resolved. That was all one piece. A deep sense of responsibility, an ability to build powerful bridges and foundations, solid successes, challenges which lead to an urgent reformulation of priorities, a need to cut your losses and deepen your commitment to the important things in life, having profound feelings of powerless, but with resolve to continue anyway. A willingness to face every part of your unconscious, despite the difficulty. Completion of the death-rebirth process and owning your shadow. And expressing titanic forces in a way that helps the external world. Those are some awesome ways to use Saturn-Pluto. Now, there's some shadow qualities, of course. You're famous for them. These are two of the classic malefics, all right, on the dark side. And by the way, I've toned this down. I've removed some things that were just so intense I didn't even want to speak them. Okay, so this is the sanitized version here. Ominous forebodings and sense of danger, feelings of anxiety and fear, negative or threatening forces, a perception of irrevocable pressure and change, the failure of law or structure to stop decay and decline, evolutionary setbacks and reverses, crushing defeats, the limits of power, rigid armoring and hardening, defensiveness and entrenchment, reactionism and fundamentalism, damaging overexertion, the negative consequences of abusing power. And once in a while, I'll give you a quote. These are, again, from Ren. He finds all these famous people who have these two planets in their natal charts in aspect, and then he gives them a relevant quote. The first one is Abraham Lincoln, who has Saturn square Pluto in his chart. He says, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." And whoever's phone just dinged, if you could please turn that off, please. Thank you. The cost of obsession, attachment, or holding grudges. Unstoppable force meets immovable object. Intense control and domination. Brutal repression of yourself and others. Inhuman cruelty. The inescapable certainty of death. Hard destructive energies and emotions. And here I put, insert the most horrible things humans can do to each other. It's all Saturn-Pluto. If it's so horrible, it's hard to imagine, that's them.
Can we go to the positive again?
Yeah. We'll come back to that. Exploitation, hate and vengeance, massacres and genocides, weapons of mass destruction, ecological disasters and catastrophes, and all hell breaking loose.
I think she asked for the positive.
I already gave you the positive. Okay. And there will be more, I promise. Okay. So that's how intense Saturn-Pluto can get. And I actually took out the worst stuff, okay? Rick Tarnas did not pull any punches in his book.
All right? Seems like we're already in it.
We are. We've been in a couple of years, like I said. I'll be giving the historical overviews. In fact, we're about to get there, okay? Now we switch to Richard Tarnas in Cosmos and Psyche. So he does point out, although he gives this incredible litany of all the terrible things that have happened under Saturn-Pluto, he says, hard aspects can bring positive results, although typically only after considerable effort. Remember the effort part. And then he says, Saturn-Pluto hard aspects can be challenging and serious, sometimes in the extreme. So let's go with some of his list of how Saturn and Pluto can show up. Empowerment of reactionary forces and totalitarian impulses, profoundly weighty events of enduring consequence, violence and death on a massive scale, the irrevocable termination of an established order of existence, collective intensification of division, antagonism, and hostility. Does that sound familiar these days? Deployment of massive, highly disciplined, carefully organized destructive power, widespread sense of victimization and suffering under the impact of cataclysmic and oppressive forces, the drive for power, control, and domination. Take a breath. Experiences of deep humiliation caused by violence, violation, and defeat, often accompanied by a compensatory need to prove one's strength, invulnerability, and capacity to retaliate with lethal potency. Is that guy right or what? Okay. Displays of personal and collective determination, unbending will, courage, and sacrifice in the face of danger and death, like the 9/11 first responders, for example. The transformation and forging of enduring structures, whether material, political, or psychological. So that's some of what Tarnas believes Saturn and Pluto. And he doesn't just believe it, he's researched. I mean, this guy went back through all of recorded history in this book and covered every planetary cycle all the way back to where we have records. It's unbelievable. Okay. Anyhow, now we just get into Saturn by itself. And again, this is Tarnas breaking down Saturn with awesome detail. Here's all the things Saturn can be, in his opinion. Contraction and constraint, deprivation and negation, division and conflict, necessity and finality, aging and maturity, dying and death, labor and duty, suffering and hardship, the wisdom of experience, authority, solidity, security, reliability, established tradition, that which endures and sustains, boundaries and limits, discipline and control, rigor and rigidity, repression and oppression, judgment, guilt, consequences of past actions, error and fault, defeat and failure, deflation and decline, depression and sorrow, delays and resistance, the naked truth, the bottom line, the inevitable and inescapable, and critical turning points. That's Saturn. Okay? And he points out that Saturn can oppose or negate the potential of the other planet, especially with hard aspects, when it doesn't just buddy up. Okay? Now, he goes on to bring Pluto into the mix now. He says Pluto's energy can empower and intensify all these Saturn effects, often to an overwhelming degree and on a massive scale. Pluto also adds its own distinctive qualities, which include instinctual and elemental forces, titanic power and violent intensity, violation and destruction, underworld depths, and evolutionary transformation. Hey. So let me give my overview. Who would agree with me that the world is such a wonderful place that we want it going along just the way it is? Nobody?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, one. But in my opinion, things are pretty bad out there on just the surface level. So basically, we need a lot of destruction. We need Pluto to get his game on and tear down all this toxic stuff. I mean, let's face it, if we stay on our current track, I just read we're on track to wipe out something like 1 million species, okay? Basically, if we keep on going this way, the Earth could become literally uninhabitable, and all humans could die. That's not a great outcome. So we need destruction of the current trend so that we can have a more harmonious, balanced, life-sustaining reality. So we need Saturn and Pluto big time right now, and they're here. And I'm just saying, on our own personal level, use them in a life-affirming, positive, awesome way so that we can make good use of them. Others will use them for evil and darkness, but our job is to use them well. Okay? Now, are you ready for the historical overview? All right. Fasten your seatbelts. It's not going to be pretty. All right. So this is deeply condensed from Tarnas's historical overview of Cosmos and Psyche. And we're just going to do the 20th century. First Saturn-Pluto conjunction of the 20th century. All right, conjunction. The immediate buildup to an eruption of World War I in 1913-16. First square, 1921-23. The decisive emergence of fascism and totalitarianism in Europe. Mussolini in Italy. Stalin in the Soviet Union. The beginning of Hitler's rise in Germany. opposition, 1930-33, worldwide economic crisis, rapid ascendancy of Nazism in Germany and the beginning of Hitler's dictatorship, the rise of Japanese militarism and the invasion of Manchuria and China, the intensified dominance of Stalin's totalitarian control of the Soviet Union, including the start of his mass starvation of over 7 million Ukrainians. Closing Square, 1939-41, coincided precisely with the beginning of World War II. This alignment continued through the darkest period of Nazi dominance in Europe. The Manhattan Project began, which of course gave us the atomic bomb. Conjunction, New Cycle, 1946-48. Cold War and global nuclear arms race begin, establishment of the Iron Curtain, domination of Eastern Europe by the Soviet Union, the rapid rise of communism under Mao in China, the communist takeover of North Korea, the founding of NATO and the CIA, National Security Council, and Department of Defense, anti-communist mentality in the United States, including the McCarthy era, the Hollywood blacklist, and widespread anti-communist witch hunts. George Orwell writes 1984. Apartheid, instituted in South Africa, modern Israel, founded in Palestine, India's independence and partition, including massive destruction, Gandhi's assassination, and the deaths of millions in the unleashed sectarian violence. First Square, 1955-57. The Soviet Union reoccupies Hungary and crushes dissent in Poland, intensified threats against the West by Khrushchev. He says, "History is on our side, we will bury you." The Suez War of 1956. Opposition, 1964-67. Again, Uranus-Pluto conjunction was the main event here, but we're doing Saturn-Pluto. In this period, the U.S. war in Vietnam begins and rapidly escalates, widespread white backlash against black civil rights gains. In the Soviet Union, the more liberal Khrushchev is replaced by the more conservative Brezhnev. The Middle East Six Days War of 1967. Closing Square, 1973-75. The U.S. defeat in Vietnam, takeovers by communist regimes in South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, the Yom Kippur War, the Watergate scandal, and President Nixon's resignation, OPEC oil embargo, global economic recession. Having a good time? Conjunction, 1980-84. Climax of the global nuclear arms race, Cold War antagonism, and widespread fear of nuclear apocalypse, massively increased defense armoring, rigidly established boundaries, hostile separation, mutual demonization. Reagan calls the Soviet Union an evil empire and the focus of evil in the modern world. Intensive military buildups, repressive military action and state-sponsored terrorism in many parts of the world, death squads in El Salvador, intensified apartheid in South Africa, the militant ascendancy of Islamic extremists in Central Asia, the depths of the Soviet war in Afghanistan leading to the rise of the Islamic jihadist movement, Israel invades Lebanon, sustained massive slaughter in the Iran-Iraq war, the initial terrorist bombings of the U.S. embassy in Beirut and the U.S. and French barracks in Lebanon, which were the most consequential terrorist acts prior to the World Trade Center. And, of course, a sudden wave of other major terrorist acts, assassinations, and assassination attempts worldwide. Opening Square, 1992-1994, coincide exactly with the first World Trade Center bombing, Osama bin Laden's first call for jihad against America, and the Taliban coming to power in Afghanistan. Opposition, 2001-2003, 9/11 terrorist attacks, including the World Trade Center, and the many measures of repression, retribution, government-sponsored violence, and further acts of terrorist response that followed that gave us the Patriot Act, severe restriction of civil liberties in the United States, the United States invades Afghanistan, the United States invades Iraq with shock and awe tactics of overwhelming destruction, the abuse and torture of Iraqi prisoners by U.S. military and paramilitary personnel begin, gruesome beheadings and suicide bombings by Islamist and Iraqi resistance begin, the end of the world order based on the alliance of Western Europe, America, and the United Nations, increasing neo-Stalinization in Russia, and the Catholic Church child sex abuse scandals start making news. First Square. Now this, he published Cosmos and Psyche in 2006. That's as far as he got. Then I did some research. I got the final square and the next conjunction from my own research. So, 2009-2011, bombings in Iraq and Pakistan kill or injure thousands. Earthquake devastates Haiti, killing approximately 160,000 and destroying the majority of the capital. The Deepwater Horizon drilling rig explodes, causing a massive oil discharge into the Gulf of Mexico and an environmental disaster. California's Proposition 8, the ballot initiative prohibiting same-sex marriage, passed by the state voters in 2008, is overturned. Repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell by Obama in the military. Arab Spring uprisings resulting in the overthrow of unpopular dictators and the Fukushima nuclear meltdown. And now, here, we got the 15-degree orb of the conjunction in February 1st of 2018, which means we've been in Saturn-Pluto conjunction territory now for almost 2 years as we do this in mid-November of 2019. So right now, thematically related events would be the Me Too movement has turned public opinion against sexual abusers. We have unending political and corporate scandals worldwide. We have a major opioid crisis. We had the Facebook Cambridge analytical scandal, which if you watch the Netflix documentary, many people believe that's what gave Donald Trump the election, the manipulation of those specific groups of voters by Cambridge Analytica. U.S. states are passing increasingly restrictive abortion laws. There are endless mass shootings, I mean, two or three a week, and it hardly makes a headline anymore. The Brexit crisis, we are now impeaching the President of the United States, or getting close. And just a few days ago, 11,000 scientists from around the world published a study in the journal Bioscience, that's 11,000 scientists, warning, quote, clearly and unequivocally that planet Earth is facing a climate emergency, end quote. So, there's good stuff too. But do you see how Saturn-Pluto's doing their thing? Now again, what obviously I haven't talked about is all the wonderful things that have happened, okay? But we're focusing here on Saturn-Pluto and its effects, okay? I have even more about other themes of Saturn-Pluto in history. I'm feeling like you might have had enough. Okay, so I'm going to skip part of this here. I'll just mention some broader themes without getting too deep. It tends to be more conservative, reactionary, and repressive. Conservative reaction, repression, religious fundamentalism tends to rise. Traditional values are supported more strongly. Social and legal constraints and judgments against sexuality, including contraception, abortion rights, premarital sex, and same-sex marriage. A lot more patriotism. The economy tends to suffer. Let me see. Anything I haven't already talked about? There's the holy war effect that gets pretty strong during these times. Now, this one I want to share because this is really insightful. There's a phenomenon under Saturn-Pluto called psychological splitting. Okay, let me explain that. This is where you tend to view yourself as entirely identified with the good and the other entirely with evil. Carl Jung saw that the shadow projected onto the other enacts its cruelty against the object of its wrath. It does this with all the insidious destructiveness it perceives in the other and denies in itself. Evil subtly appropriates the motivations of the soul that identifies itself exclusively with God and the good. It then performs its dark actions in self-deceiving but absolute confidence that it is morally obliged to act in this way against such a manifest evil. That's Tarnas writing. He's amazing. Okay, so that's what happens a lot under Saturn is about boundaries, and Pluto is about intense, you know, violence and need to transform and change things. So it's easy to get deluded in that way when you get psychologically split. Also, the environment. There tends to be more collective awareness of big ecological threats. And also, as we're seeing in the United States under Trump, of course, he's trying to get rid of environmental protections as fast as he can. So the environment often tends to suffer. There's a war between man and nature effect. However, it also can be empowering to those who want to save the environment so they can use it to, you know, come to the rescue. There's one thing I do. I am skipping a lot of the heavier stuff. I think you got the point. I took out the worst of it. Yeah. So I told you this was not for the faint-hearted. Here's an important quote. Saturn-Pluto brings a view of human existence as ordered by weighty collective responsibilities, enormous generational tasks, and larger forces of destiny that assign us roles and labors beyond our conscious choosing. The other big quote here before I go to more positive expressions of Saturn-Pluto, I told you there would be more. Okay. The deprivations, losses, and hard labors of Saturn-Pluto periods force individuals and societies out of an old form of life and into a new one. Okay, so the opportunity is, I think we're all agreeing, the current trend of human society is self-destructive. And we need a new form of life. And either, in my opinion, we will, as a collectiveness, decide to change voluntarily. And if we don't, then the old order will simply be destroyed and out of the way that way. But the Earth, I believe, will preserve itself one way or the other. So that's my... And I'm a big fan of, let's just make it better voluntarily. Okay. So, would you like some more positive expressions of Saturn-Pluto? Because there is good stuff here. There's nothing inherently bad. Okay? So again, why did I take you through all that? Good Lord. Okay? Just to, maybe to get your attention that, you know, it's kind of important that we do focus on the high side of Saturn-Pluto. Because if we just go with the default, there's a lot of dark forces out there that are about greed and self-servingness. And if we just leave the show to them, then they're going to take us further down the spiral. So if we understand there's very powerful forces at play and we choose to use them in a more life-affirming way, then things get better. And you may not believe that you, in your own little life, can make a difference. But if you know the idea of morphic resonance or 100th monkey effect, every single person who holds a state radiates it to the collective. We're all linked energetically. And even if you never say a word to anyone, if you just hold this more positive personal expression of Saturn-Pluto, it radiates that effect out more strongly. So every one of us does make a difference. We are the ones we've been waiting for. I know you've heard that, but it really makes a difference. And I wanted to show you how bad it can get and has been in the past and is already trending now so that maybe it'll inspire you to get a more positive lean on this.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, you betcha. Okay, here's some more positive Saturn-Pluto. The balanced and effective organization of power, well-earned personal authority and gravitas, extraordinary solidity of character, perceptive moral judgment, deeply established enduring structures of all kinds, intense focus and discipline with minimal resources, exceptional courage in the face of extreme danger, hardship, death, and moral darkness, rebuilding out of the rubble of destruction, and a greatly increased collective tendency to confront the moral shadow of humanity. And we're done with Saturn-Pluto. All right, thanks for taking that trip with me. Now let's... Well, actually, I forgot one thing. Now remember I talked about that eclipse that had the five Capricorn planets, Sun, Ceres, Pluto, Saturn, and Mercury, and then Eris on one side and Juno on the other, who's not quite visible? So I've already interpreted the Saturn-Pluto conjunction for you. I just called it an eclipse. The only thing missing is the moon. Okay, so all the things I said about that eclipse with Saturn-Pluto as part of it, I've already interpreted the chart of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. They only conjoin once on January 12th of 2020. The eclipse was on January 10th. 2 days later, the exact Saturn-Pluto conjunction hits on the 12th. So we've already done that.